Here's the first of three or four just background pieces that you might be interested in because you're either teaching or want to know more about the mining districts in Tooele County. This first one is just a longer version of what I gave as the geology, the various steps that are needed to have a world-class ore body like Bingham Copper Mine. So this one is by Bill Perry. He's an extraordinarily fine geologist at the University of Utah who's fascinated by the processes of mineralization. This particular one is called Geology of Utah's Mountains, Peaks, and Plateaus, and he's interested in mineralization, but this particular one just sort of says in a longer version of what I was writing before. It's mountains, ranges, and peaks of the Basin and Range. Basin and Range mountain ranges possess some common features, yet they are all different in detail. Locations of the mountain ranges of the Basin and Range are shown in the figure. Basement rocks beneath valleys and ranges are Precambrian crystalline rocks and overlying Precambrian sediments. That would be Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Precambrian rocks are exposed only infrequently in a few mountain ranges, such as the Beaver Dam Mountains in southwestern Utah and the Raft River Mountains in northern Utah. Thick deposits of Paleozoic limestone, that's Chapter 3, overlie the Precambrian rocks. In some ranges, the Paleozoic rocks are veneered with tertiary age volcanic rocks, and in some cases, the ranges are cored with intrusive igneous rocks. Jurassic sedimentary rocks form the footwall in Pavant Range. Further south, Mesozoic sedimentary rocks are exposed in the Beaver Dam Pine Valley. Probably shouldn't have read that paragraph. The next one is Ochre Mountains. The Ochre Mountains, named for the Goshute Indian word for either cave or shining mountains, Bancott, 1990, are located just 20 miles west of Salt Lake City and Salt Lake, sometimes called Jordan Valley. The mountain range extends 34 miles from Five Mile Pass on the south point to Lake Point and Great Salt Lake on the north. It is 12 miles wide, except for the Traverse Mountains, at about the midpoint, which extends across Jordan and Utah valleys, separating them. The bounding valleys are Tooele Valley, from Great Salt Lake, south to Stockton and South Mountain, and Rush Valley, from Stockton to the south end of the range. The Ochre Mountains, so prominently visible to the west of Salt Lake City, contain some of the richest metal deposits in the world. Normally measured in ounces, gold is counted in tons in the Ochre Mountains. The Bingham District has produced enormous riches in copper, gold, lead, silver, zinc, molybdenum, and other metals. The sum of produced copper and gold and the reserves remaining to be mined in the several deposits of the Bingham Mining District is 1,829 tons of gold and 31 million tons of copper, as estimated in 2006. Bingham ranks as the seventh largest copper deposit in the world based on contained copper, second largest on the basis of contained gold, fifth largest on the basis of copper grade. The Mercury District has produced enough gold, 103 tons, and silver to make many king's ransoms. The Ophir and Stockton districts have produced still more valuable metals. Chuquimaga, Chile, has much more copper, but less gold, silver, lead, and zinc. Silver City, Nevada, and the Comstock Lode, called the richest place in the world, have more silver, but less gold, copper, lead, and zinc. Butte, Montana, known for a century as the richest hills in the world, contains less gold, copper, lead, zinc, and silver. The richness of metal production production comes from a rich and complex geologic history. So this is how he writes it. It's a longer version of what I told you, but here it is. The geologic history of the Ochre Mountains includes many of the episodes typical of other mountain ranges in the Basin and Range. It is a history of the evolution of a continental margin. Periods of submergence beneath sea level are marked by accumulation of sedimentary rocks, meaning bedrock. And missing sedimentary records mark periods of emergence, meaning above water. There is no record of the Ordovician, Silurian, or Devonian time in the Ochre Mountains. The oldest rock exposed in the Ochre Mountains is the shale of the Ophir and Pioche formations that are exposed at the crest of the Ophir Anticline in Ophir Canyon on the west side of the range. Those of you who went up to Ophir saw that. These are just the oldest rocks exposed within the mountains and not the oldest rocks present in the subsurface. So I hope you heard that. Now, these are the ones you can see on the surface, but not necessarily those that underlie those. For the Ochre Mountains have an ancient foundation that formed as the North American continent was assembled from diverse fragments. Those would have been Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Chapter 1, Metamorphic Basement. Chapter 2, Metamorphism Light. The edge of the ancient continent was in western Nevada. This conclusion is reached through analysis of igneous rocks exposed at the surface that record the type of rocks through which they passed. The Ochre Mountains lie above the 1.9 to 1.8 billion-year-old reworked ancient crust 70 miles south of the southern end of the Wyoming province in the Cheyenne Belt, which marks the accretion of younger crust to the old Wyoming terrain. Don't worry if you don't understand all these words. The Ochre Mountains, meaning the land, the rocks of the Ochre Mountains, rest upon basement rocks derived and reworked from the 2.5 billion-year-old and older crust. Of the time between the accretion of rocks to form the continental basement and the first accumulation of sediment exposed in the Ochre Mountains, we have no record in the Ochre Mountains, meaning there's a whole bunch missing. The Wasatch and Uinta Mountains and Antelope Island to the north of the Ochre Mountains do preserve a partial sedimentary record of this interval of time. New paragraph. The Ochre Mountains consist of Paleozoic, mostly Pennsylvanian, sedimentary rocks folded in a series of anticlines and synclines, disturbed by thrust faults and intruded by tertiary igneous rock. Let me translate that for you. The bedrock of the Ochre Mountains consists of Paleozoic, meaning relatively early life, mostly Pennsylvanian, sedimentary bedrock, so it was laid down, I think that'd be about 400 million years ago, and then folded later into a series of anticlines and synclines. So that'd be compressional tectonics. It included thrust faults, and then much later it was intruded by tertiary age, so about 90 million years ago, igneous rocks. And my hunch is that I missed that. That was probably not 90 million years, probably more like 30 million years. I'm sorry. The sedimentary bedrock is composed of sediments that accumulated in the great Ochre Basin that formed along with its contemporary basin in southeastern Utah, known as the Paradox Basin, in response to a faraway collision of continents. The collision of North America with South America in the Gulf of Mexico region formed major mountain ranges in the southeastern part of the United States and in Colorado and Utah. The Colorado and Utah Mountains are known as the ancestral Rocky Mountains, and the Ochre and Paradox Basin formed along with and alongside of them. I'll pause here for a moment. Often when an up mountain range, meaning compressional tectonics and the thickening of the crust, they'll have next to it basins, just the way on the Uinta Mountains now, we have the Green River Basin to the north and the Uinta Basin to the south. So don't be surprised when you have a really high area, and this is all in the past, that you would have a similar basin. distant western shoreline of the Oker Basin was the ancient remnant of the great Antler Mountain chain, formed as the western continental margin evolved from a passive to a convergent margin in the Devonian, meaning it became, instead of relatively quiescent, it became, meaning not much going on, compressional. There's no known analog of the Oker Basin in the world today. The Oker Basin was to fill with sediment with the inception of still another episode of plate convergence that produced the Snowman Mountains in the west of Nevada. I kind of think of the modern analog as the Gulf of Mexico, but I could be wrong. Severe mountain building, meaning compressional tectonics that came on later, folded the sedimentary rocks into a series of northwest trending anticlines and synclines. Thrust faults, those are the kind where one whole section slides across another section because of compressional tectonics. Thrust faults within the Oker Formation may have involved several tens of miles of horizontal displacement toward the southeast. Prominent beds of overturned Oker Formation from the thrust falling event are exposed on the northern tip of the mountain range. I bet you've seen that when you've driven. Now, drivers drive. Don't, you know, be too distracted by the geology. But when there's been a certain amount, just a little bit of snow on the north end of the Okers, you can really see how tightly folded the rocks are. And then there's a whole nother phase that this is important. Igneous rocks, meaning bedrock that was melted, intrude the sedimentary rock sequence, meaning those rocks that were put there in Chapter 3 and Chapter 4. The most notable igneous intrusions are those of the Bingham District, about 38.5, and I'm sorry that I said that wrong earlier, so about 38, 40 million years ago, which have been extensively mineralized with copper, gold, and other metals within about 500,000 years of emplacement of the igneous intrusive. So it's usually water circulating that carries those into the intrusion itself and the surrounding host rocks. Volcanic rocks, meaning those that came out in volcanoes, 39 to 38 and 31 to 33 million years ago, occur along the east side of the mountains. Both igneous intrusives of Bingham and associated volcanic rocks are part of a large volcano now removed by erosion. Smaller igneous intrusions are located at Merkur, 31.6 million years old, Ophir, and Stockton, 39.4 million years old. The Oker Mountains are bounded on the east and west by normal faults, meaning they developed during the Basin Range extension. The faults produce a topographic relief between the mountains and the adjacent valleys, meaning the valley drops between these major fault zones. Flat Top Mountain, 10,620 feet. Low Peak, 10,589 feet. And Lewiston Peak, 10,411 feet. And the Southern Oker Mountains are the highest peaks, all of Pennsylvanian age Oker Formation. Clipper Peak, 9,207 feet. Kelsey Peak, 10,373 feet. And Butterfield Peaks, 9,211, 9,193, 9,186 feet, form the high ridge line, also composed of Oker Formation. I find it fascinating that he doesn't even discuss the sediments. So that was a bit long, maybe too much. So don't feel you have to listen to these things if you're not interested in the topic. I'll try to have it on the table of contents.